Welcome to Small Bites with Glenn Gross and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs. Hi, I'm Glenn Gross, and this is Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. I own Fat Jack's in Philly and New York, and tonight we've got a bunch of stuff going on in the studio, and I'll introduce everybody to you in a minute. However, I have somebody that wants to say hello to somebody. Introduce yourself, somebody.
My name's Daniel, and hey, Sophia.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay, get out of here. Anyway. that was Danny. He just had to say hi to Sophia. Anyway, so we're ready to go tonight, guys. We have a special show, and I have a... Oh, you know what? Derek's not here. Anybody see Derek here tonight?
He's missing in action.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking Derek.
Nah.
Anyway, so I've got a special guest host here tonight, and why don't you introduce yourself, special guest host?
Yeah, my name is Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service. Premier barista to bean service. We pair espresso cappuccino machines and everything in between.
Cool. Who do you bring with you?
I have a few special guests here.
A few.
Well, you know.
One, two, three.
You can count them in one hand. That's a few.
Okay, that's a few. I'll give you.
Yeah. We have Fury from Illegal Taco, which will be joining us very shortly. And we also have a new coffee concept, Piccolo Coffee House, which we'll be bringing his
Piccolo
insights
Joe
on the
coffee bar.
Okay, he got that
in
one wrong.
Town, PA.
I'm sorry.
I went to Haverford High School.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you got to
so
walk.
Did I.
You can walk from there to get our coffee.
Can you really?
Oh yeah.
Cool. Go ahead.
And CJ from Faber Liquors and the 10,000 Flag Initiative, Jimmy Jenkins.
Hello, welcome, everybody. Guys. So, Don, take it away, buddy. Where do you want to start?
I think we'll start with Fury. And,
we can do that.
Yeah, and have him... Mm-hmm.
So, Fury, tell me about Illegal Taco.
No, Illegal Tacos. Oh, man, the name.
How'd you come up with Illegal Tacos?
Oh, boy, how do I explain this?
Yeah, I want to hear this because it sounds really, really good.
Well, when I came up with the concept, I wanted to think of a name that... of course, catchy,
mm-hmm.
and to be authentic. So I'm thinking tacos, tacos, tacos. What can I do? What can I do? Now, considering the current political climate towards Mexicans,
illegals. Mexican.
So
put them together.
Put them on together. Illegal tacos.
All right. Hang on, we have a phone call. Hey, yeah. We'll get right back to you. Who do we have on the phone there, John? Hello.
Evening, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing?
How is it going, Johnny boy?
Good, all right. Just wanted to mention a few things from this past week far as food news in the area.
Bring us up to date, pal.
And they got a packed show, so we'll make it quick. Want to talk about Irwin's. This is a new bar opening at the Bach Building in South Philly. According to Philly Mag, the chef is Paul Garbison, who's from Fiddler Dining Room, and the menu is Mediterranean in nature. This opened just this past week. Stock, which is the Southeastern Asian eatery in Fishtown, announced on Instagram they're opening a second location that will be on Chestnut Street. So look for a second opening for Stock. Also looking for an August opening for Suttons. This is a new neighborhood bar in Kensington. This is being opened by Niall Murphy from Fergie's. He's the man behind the new establishment. And on the Jersey side of things, Makona Barbecue had its opening this past weekend on Haddon Avenue in Collingswood. So congratulations to them on their opening. I'll be posting more stuff later tonight. Hashtag Small Bites Radio. And as always, at Eating in S Jersey on Twitter.
Why don't you tell everybody about your book while you have a minute?
Sure. Culinary History of Cape May, a telling of Cape May's history through food. You can find it on Amazon.com and in bookstores around the area. I've been doing some more appearances on that lately, so I was always getting good response and always appreciated for it.
Where's your next appearance?
You know what? I just got back from Virginia, so I have nothing lined up right now.
Oh, cool. Well, when are you going to appear?
R&R down in Virginia.
When are you going to appear in the studio?
I'm sorry?
When are you going to appear in studio?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. I need to come in and
yep.
And say hi to you guys again. It's been a while.
Absolutely. All right, Johnny Boy, thanks a lot, pal.
Always, guys, take care. Have a good evening.
Always a wealth of knowledge, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He is always a wealth of knowledge. He knows everything that's going on everywhere. So anyway, so we interrupted Fury. I'm sorry. I actually forgot we had John on the phone. So go ahead. So illegal Mexican tacos all together. Go ahead.
So, you know, that's why I came up with the name Illegal Tacos. Mm-hmm. So good and so authentic that they're illegal. I mean, I know, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, some people don't take it as too funny or mm-hmm. funny at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and we had a little bit of... you know, not protest, but a lot of hate in the beginning.
Really?
Really, yeah.
Wow.
Actually, it's a petition. I think the petition is still going on. Somebody started a petition for the city council to step in and make me change the name.
Really?
You know, and it's so funny because on the petition, they do start that, oh, an immigrant, an Albanian immigrant. Like, how can I be against immigrants when I'm an immigrant myself?
Yeah.
You know? So it's not, you know, it's not like racist or anything, you know? I mean, I do have a sense of humor myself, and mm-hmm. everybody who I consulted with at the time, including my chef, mm-hmm. which is Mexican, my workers, and so many Mexican friends mm-hmm. that I have, and everybody thought it was hilarious. Everybody told me, just go with it.
I think it's a great name.
You and, you know.
It worked for you.
It did work. I got a ton of press, you know, from Fox to ABC, Telemundo,
front page of every paper. Yeah. Front page.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I mean, I tell everybody who had something to say, like, listen, come and have a conversation with
me.
It's
that's
nothing
all.
Like, you know, it's not racist. Nothing against immigrants or anything. I'm don't an immigrant
hide
myself.
Right. Don't hide behind a petition.
No. Yeah.
Okay? Come out and see me. You know, if I have an issue in my places, I want somebody to talk to me.
Sure.
You know, don't hide behind the internet or a petition or something. Come and talk to me.
And a few people did actually come, and then, you know, we had a nice conversation. And you know what's funny? I got to share this story because it's really hilarious.
Go ahead.
So two nights ago, I get a notification on Facebook. Somebody checked in at Illegal Tacos, and, you know, they were from Los Angeles. And they just happened to be in Philly or visiting Philly. And so he goes like, oh, this, you know, racist state, we've been treating worse. And, you know, now I got to walk down Broad Street and I got to see Illegal Tacos. You know, this is the worst of the worst. And I'm like, wow. So I see the guy's picture and I see his profile. So he's a big LA Galaxy fan. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to the game tomorrow. I wonder if he's in town to watch LA Galaxy play the Union. Guess who I see at the stadium?
That guy.
I was like, what's your name? He goes like, Art. I'm the owner of Illegal Tacos. It was with seven dudes. They were like, we cannot believe this. How the hell you know me? I said, I just recognize you from your Facebook profile. He said, what are the odds of that?
Where's
So we had a small conversation. He goes like, wow, you're a great guy. I'm like, yeah. So I said, you know, it's nothing, you know, nothing. So, you know, we took pictures and then, you know, it was all good at the end. So
that's good.
Ah, a great way to get them to stop talking about it is to smuggle in some of those tacos.
Yeah, there you go.
Into the studio.
Yeah.
You
know,
tacos, you got to eat them on the spot because they don't travel well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you make them, you got to eat them with like 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I'm taking that as an invitation to your place after the show.
Everybody's
here. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Where are you located anyway?
Broad and Lombard.
Oh, okay. Very good.
It's
not too far. You're paying everybody's toll to go over, right?
I'll do it. I'm a man of my word. I'll give everybody $5 cash right now. So.
Where do you see the future for Illegal Taco?
Definitely opening up more branches, definitely. Believe it or not, there's a few guys, which I cannot disclose the names right now, who do own franchises that have approached me. But I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. I'm enjoying it too much right now myself. You know, I don't want to get into all of that right now. The money to me, it's just not all about the money all the time. You know, a lot of the times I love to play the game. And if you play the game right, you have fun. The money is a reward. Yeah. So, you know, as of right now,
I'm a reputation that way.
Yeah. So tell me about your menu.
The menu is pretty simple, actually. I didn't want to make any complicated menu. So we have tacos, mm-hmm. and then you have about 7 protein choices mm-hmm. we can choose on the tacos. So we have al pastor, which is the most authentic choice. It's pork marinated in 6 different peppers, pineapple included. And we have carnita, which is also pork. Mm-hmm. We have chicken, shrimp, a veggie, and a ground beef. So those are the choices. As far as proteins, and then we also have burritos on the menu, taco bowls, and taco bowl salad. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple.
Everything's done from scratch.
Yep, everything from scratch. Mm-hmm. So even the tortilla chips, we fry them there for the chips and salsa. So
that's good. That's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it.
Only way. Wow, I'm impressed. I tell you.
And I do take people on. It's not that I have an impressive kitchen or anything, but, you know, when people ask, like, oh, do you make everything here? I'm like, yeah, I'll show you.
Show you.
Yeah. So, I love that, you know.
How many square feet is your store?
1,500.
Okay. That's a nice size.
Yeah,
that's
it's a nice size. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. Anything, you guys can feel free to talk anytime.
My friends from IATSE Local 8, we work at Susan Roberts in the Kimball Center. Mm-hmm,
right across the street.
Yeah, they go to your place often.
Yeah, I do take care. You know what? I love interacting with customers. I mean, I don't even know who they are, but I love interacting with them. I always ask them, you know, if you're a neighbor or, you know, what got you into the door. When they say that, like, they're a neighbor or they're working across the street, I always take care of them, either like a free drink or like free chips and salsa, you know. I love doing it.
Yeah, it's great. It's an excellent
location. That goes a long way.
It definitely does.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, even with the firefighters, 2 blocks down, easy. Where's the fire station? A couple blocks down on Broad Street. So that, yeah, those guys I take care of all the time. And every time law enforcement comes in the place, I always take care of the drinks. I instructed the cashier and the manager and the chef that if they happen to be behind the line and they see a law enforcement person, you know, whether police or anything, you know, just take care of them drinks.
Yeah, that's sure. Good.
You know,
yeah, we do this. We give a big discount. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. And you have to do it.
Yeah,
you really do.
Yep.
You really
take
do
care of the
do.
People that take care of us.
That's right.
Yep. I always. Yeah. Matter of fact, there was one of it was a snow day, and I guess police were not that busy that day. So they were 10 of them came in. So, of course, obviously, I did take care of them a lot. And, you know, we took a picture, and one of the posts on Instagram was
Facebook.
Like,
yeah,
proud to
Facebook
serve those who serve us.
Yes,
you know, that makes me very happy. You know,
I understand always. You also dabble in a little bit of real estate.
I do. I love real estate. My father, you know, my father has been in real estate for 15 years. So, I mean, I've always been involved in real estate. So, and besides the other coffee shop.
Yeah, you've got very Mediterranean York as well.
Yep.
Your number one customer for D&L Coffee, I thought.
Me and Donato, I helped me a lot in the beginning with the machines. Man, we went through like 3 or 4 machines in the beginning. Really? Oh, God.
We found the one that you liked the best.
Yep. But at the time, I was young. I was, what, 23 at the time.
Yeah.
When I
came over from Albania.
Yeah.
Basically.
It was a few years prior, a few years later, but I always wanted to do a coffee shop. And I did achieve that dream at 23.
You did?
Yeah,
you
did. So.
So you have a coffee shop also?
Yep, South Philadelphia.
What's the name?
Mediterranean Cafe, 1427 West Passyunk. It's between Broad and 15th on Passyunk Avenue.
Okay, that's good. So how long, that's what I wanted to ask, how long the coffee shop, how long?
Up 9 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
9 years. I opened when I was 23. I'm 32 and I'm 9 years ago.
Three espresso machines later.
Yeah. Four.
I worked for Donato for 2 years. I delivered more to you than anybody else.
Yeah, you came and dropped coffee off. Well, my thing was always to provide the best products. So the espresso, my espresso, it's well known in the area. So a lot of people that are like, hey, you want to drink an espresso like in Italy? You got to go there. So,
but you get it from the guy from Italy.
And that's 100% what you have to do, because Italians, they really, really have nailed down the formula for great, great espresso, right, great, great coffee. And
a lot of people don't know that coffee doesn't even grow in Italy. People ask me, how is that possible? I'm like, all right, who makes the best chocolate in the world? Switzerland. All right, well, chocolate doesn't grow there.
All right.
So they're just the masters of it. They know how to do it.
Right.
And speaking of coffee, we have Piccolo, did I say
Salvatore Lo Piccolo, right. Piccolo Joe Coffee Bar
in
Havertown, PA. And we have also great Espresso Italiano.
That was a hell of a segue, wasn't it?
He hasn't worked well. It's
perfect. It's like he's been doing this for years.
You could have asked for a better handoff there.
That was good.
But absolutely. I mean, my family, we come from Italy. We're immigrants also. And, you know, coming to America, things are different. Just like the Italians don't grow coffee beans in Italy. They get it from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, we came over and we want to bring that great Italian formula for coffee into the Havertown area. We've absolutely gotten the best coffee from Donato.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, and a great, great machine from Cimbala. It's a FEMA machine.
Yep.
One of the things, there's actually an institution in Italy that really gets down to the very, very granular elements, to the very most detailed parts of what it takes to make the perfect cup of espresso, the Espresso Italiano, which is so, so wonderful on your palate, really picks you up, gives you that great boost of energy.
All right, so share. What makes a great cup of espresso?
Well, number one is the beans, okay? So there are two different kinds of beans. Most people don't know this, but a coffee bean is actually a cherry pit. And a cherry pit that needs to be roasted perfectly, okay? Because it has to be the right mix of beans. So there's two kinds of cherry plants. One is an Arabica plant, which is very, very smooth, and one is a Robusta, which is very strong, gives you that strong caffeine kick. Italians do a 70-30 mix.
Exactly. Exactly.
So everybody, how come?
I'm very surprised how many people do not know that.
Absolutely.
And people who own coffee shops, when I tell them that, they're like, what? What? They don't know.
The American palate is very, very different. The American palate, what has been marketed to Americans the most is 100% Arabica,
yeah.
Which is
Starbucks, and
Starbucks actually they sell more milk. They go through more milk than they do actual coffee.
That's why their espresso, if you notice, because one detail that you missed was that on the espresso, the Robusto beans is what makes the crema.
Yep.
So if you don't have at least 30% Robusto beans on your coffee mix, then it's not going to come out with a crema on top. And
the crema, like a Guinness beer, you know, that beautiful head on the top of a Guinness beer, that's the crema. And when you mix that Arabica and the Robusta together and you get that nice sweet crema and it touches your palate and it smooths over your entire tongue.
Listen to that description.
So one of the things...
I'm drinking it right now and I'm just not loving it.
So one of the things how to taste, not how to test it, but how to know if it's enough Robusto in there or to test the crema, you got to put the sugar. And if the sugar stays on top, that means that the coffee is great.
Oh, good.
Yep.
So I'm going to save all my cherry pits now and, you know, roast my own.
So we actually have not only the Espresso Italiano, which, you know, that perfect espresso, that perfect mix is that 70-30 mix. With the smoothness of the Arabica, the kick of the Robusta, you know, the nice crema gives you that strong flavor, that big kick to get your day going. But we also serve 100% Arabica beans that are naturally sourced. They're organic. They're bird safe. They're fair trade. They come from South America in wild-grown farms. So a lot of times when you have farms, these 100% Arabica plants, they're grown maybe not in the most perfect elevation, and they're grown and used pesticides and herbicides to keep them perfectly made. We have an organic sourced Arabica that is brought in, and what that allows is the plants around it. So you may have banana plants, you may have other fruit plants around that seep into the soil, the nutrients seep into the soil, and the beans pick up that natural flavor. So we source those beans, and it's roasted by Golden Valley Farms in Westchester. It's actually directly across from Westchester University. And we have that 100% natural, organic Arabica. We have a cold brew here, which is delicious, and it's that smoothness. So a lot of people, like I said, the American palate and the Italian palate, very different, and different things that you look for. And with the organic coffee, that smoothness, especially in, you see a lot now, the cold brew.
Wow.
That's nice.
Hold that back up to the mic so everyone can see it. Oh, yeah. Come on, there you go.
Yeah. You hear that drop in there, and it just sounds beautiful, and it tastes beautiful. And it really really is smooth. So one of the things that you look for when you have a nice cup of coffee, whether it's cold brew, we also serve nitro brew. We have cold brew and nitro brew on tap.
What's the difference?
The difference is the cold brew is like a, think of coffee being made almost like a tea, mm-hmm. where you put their coffee bags, like tea bags, into a container that steeps overnight in a refrigerator. So that's the cold brewing. Mm-hmm. And then you also have nitro brew, which is nitrogen injected. So think of like a soda carbonated. Mm-hmm. This is nitrogen injected. And it gives that head kind of like a nice Guinness. It's a beautiful flavor, great taste. And again, with the 100% Arabica, the natural, the organic, it's very, very smooth. So when you drink your coffee, you're looking for that taste that goes into your palate and goes smoothly down. And if you have a bad plant, you have bad beans, you'll get a lot of acid right up in the front of your throat. You don't mm-hmm. get that with this beautiful organic coffee. And it's absolutely delicious. I'm going to have some right now. Brilliant.
He likes his own product.
That
was great. Yeah. That was great. He put that straw in his mouth and sucked it up very, very well.
Didn't offer it onto anybody, did
he? No, he didn't, did he?
I got plenty for everybody. Don't worry.
Well, I think you should offer some up, don't you, Don?
I think so,
there you too. Go.
No, I don't drink it. But thanks anyway.
Oh, see, now you're going to call me out like that.
Is this one?
So, where's your shop in Havertown exactly?
So it's right off of Route 1 and Route 3. So mm-hmm. if you're driving up Route 1 north, like you're heading in towards Philadelphia, mm-hmm. you cross over Westchester Pike.
Right.
You pass Atlantic down there on your right-hand side, which is a big landmark, right? On your left-hand side is a Sunoco gas station.
Right.
Now, we've been there for many, many years, and it is a very, very busy store with great community around there, a lot of people who shop there locally. And one of the things that the people have talked to us about is having a better coffee offering. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can only go to so many different places that offer okay coffee, but people really do want something better. So we have put together this concept, the Piccolo Joe Coffee Bar, that again, it offers that espresso Italiano, which is so good, so strong, and gives you the perfect amount of that mix to get your day going. We have the 100% organic, the cold brew, the nitro brew, And it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
I'm excited for you to open.
We're opening very 100%. Soon. Opening very soon. Should be open July 30th.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought he was open already. The way
he's open with their coffee that they're serving now, but the espresso and the cappuccino lattes is the next step in the evolution of the the coffee concept.
You're supplying him?
We're supplying him, yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, good choice he made.
the best in Philly. Yeah.
By far. And they gave you your location.
400 East Township Line Road. 400 East Township Line.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Inside the Sunoco gas station there. As soon as you walk in, I mean, you'll smell it outside, but as soon as you walk in, you'll see it.
And, okay, I'd like to also introduce... going from coffee to liquor, I think it's a nice...
yeah, there you go. Another jump. Transition.
CJ from Faber Liquor.
Yes, thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for
Anytime.
Coming.
So...
Tell a little bit about your company and...
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're based in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. We started about 5 years ago. We were founded by two gentlemen who... are about the same age as me. I'm 27 years old. So they went to Carnegie Mellon University, and they actually were doing an entrepreneurship project when they were in college, and they initially got the idea to build a brewery and try to do the microbrew game and all that stuff. But the microbrew game, as you all know, is extremely populated. There's so mm-hmm. many different microbrews out there. So, I mean, you could go just in Philly alone, there's so many different little breweries out there and people making their own beers. So they made the switch and decided to start making spirits instead. We started as a little private label, just doing spirits for bars and restaurants that wanted to have their own brand name for their bar or restaurant. So if Illegal Tacos wanted to have their own vodka. So
illegal vodka.
You can have illegal vodka. Vodka. That's a great exactly. idea. Yeah. So we started out with that.
Illegal tequila.
Tequila, yeah.
And we started out with just vodka, gin, rum, and some flavored vodkas. We've since expanded our portfolio quite a bit. But we started out, the company's name was Fortis to begin, which was a Latin term for strength. And then we changed it to Faber, which is Latin for craftsmanship. So it goes a little more hand in hand with our image and our brand and everything that we're trying to, you know, get out there and get to what the point that we're trying to get across to all of our customers and everybody like that.
What do you do for Faber?
So I am a representative for the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. I'm a sales representative, account manager in the Philadelphia okay. area, and really all over southeastern Pennsylvania. Anthony and Casey were the two gentlemen that founded our company. Mm-hmm. And right now we have a good line of products, and I brought a little bit in here with me today. We have the Faber line, which is our original line. It's the vodka, the gin, the rum, and then we have flavored vodkas as well. Mm. We also have the Keystone Rail line, which is the products that we offer just to our industry customers. So being that we're a distillery in Pennsylvania, we're allowed to sell directly to our customers, the bars and restaurants, anyone with a liquor license in the state of Pennsylvania. So you order it directly from us, and we deliver it directly to you guys.
You can bypass the state stores?
Correct, yeah. Oh, okay. If you have a liquor license.
Right.
We can't sell to Joe walking in off the street,
right.
but we can sell to any bar and restaurant with a liquor license, and we deliver it directly to your door. So the Keystone line, getting back to that, that is something that is just for our industry customers. So you guys would pay a wholesale price for that. And then we can save people a whole lot of money. And with that, we offer a full line of house products. Mm-hmm. So it would be house vodka, house gin, rum, tequilas, gold and silver. We have a triple sec, and we also have a whiskey for that line as well.
Whiskey's very good.
The whiskey is good. It's a blended whiskey.
Donato's tried heard it through the grapevine.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now, we use his products. I own a bar in Delaware County, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, and we do use the full line of the Faber and the rail line.
Keystone.
Keystone yep. rail, sorry.
Absolutely. So we also just came out with a new rum that is it's our little baby that we're very proud of, and it is called Single Prop, and it is a white rum at the moment. It's a white rum.
I like the label, by the way.
Thank you
very
much.
The label has little airplanes on it.
There's a very there's a very interesting story behind the Single Prop brand. So that's a white rum that is distilled from coconut water. It is not a mm-hmm. coconut rum, mm-hmm. but it is distilled from coconut water. We got the name Single Prop. Our founder, Casey, hopped in his little single propeller plane and flew down to Nicaragua and all around that area. And he just decided one day after looking around down there that we should start a rum line with that Caribbean feel and something that has some really good, it gives off like a good vibe. When you hold that bottle, you feel like you're going to party, when you're going to have a good time. You're really going to enjoy some great cocktails. So we bought a bunch of coconut fields down in Nicaragua, and we employ a ton of the locals down there to help out at the coconut plants and everything like that. And it's been going great for us. We've had it up and running now for about 6 months. The Single Prop's been out there on the market, and we're going to have some flavors for the Single Prop a little mm-hmm. later down the line in the fall, hopefully. And right now, this is our big seller. It's $17.99 at the state stores in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's only available in Pennsylvania, but we sell it and deliver it directly, just like our other products, to all of our licensees. Mm-hmm. So it makes a great mojito and some other good rum cocktails as well.
Very outstanding.
You use it? Yes, we do.
Oh.
Yes, we do.
Good.
We don't make mojitos out of it, but we use it for regular rum and Cokes and Cuba Libre.
Wow.
In that direction.
How come you don't make mojitos out of it?
The clientele is more of a shot and beer bar.
Never mind then.
Yeah, more of a dive bar, if you want to call it. So.
Okay.
But the neighborhood likes it, so
that's fine.
Good.
That's fine.
It works for us.
But if I came in and wanted a mojito, would you make it?
If I'm there, I'll make it for you.
Okay. And if you're not there, they'll call you in to make it, right?
I'll explain it over the phone. I'll have the mint shipped down there quickly.
Go ahead.
So you say the product line is available in the state stores in Pennsylvania only?
Correct, yeah. The Faber line and the single prop line are available in the Pennsylvania state stores.
Any plans for national distribution?
We're working on that. We're taking it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. We really want to build our brand in Pennsylvania. We really want people to become loyal to our brand, and we've been doing very well with that so far. We support a lot of the local events that happen in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. We were at the Tattoo Convention recently. We were at the Whiskey Fest event at the Lincoln Financial Field.
We do Whiskey Fest, Fat Jack's Barbecue.
Yeah, we were there, and
it's a good event.
It's a great event. I love being there.
It is an outstanding event.
What do they have?
200 roughly suppliers of liquor that give samples?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Did you see what Don just did? Woo, he's smiling.
It's a good event. That's one of the most fun events that you'll go to in Philly with, for spirits and for beer or whatever else.
Yeah, the Link does a good job too. And the sponsors do a great job. They really do.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun at that. We made some big batches of cocktails. We handed them out. We handed out some T-shirts and everything. And that's how we do it. Like we're very involved in the community in Pennsylvania as a whole. Really, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Scranton area. You know, Penn State, State College area, Harrisburg. We just like to get out there and really just. We like to be out there pushing the brands ourselves instead of hiring, as much as people would love to have the promo girls out at the bar and, doing that, like walking around with a shot tray. That is something that we do with some customers.
So you'll go there, you'll wear a bikini, go around with a shot tray, right?
I look pretty good.
I don't know about that, but.
I don't know about that either. Maybe after a few of those.
Maybe after a few mojitos.
Yeah.
So we've been doing some events, like I said, in the community, and it's really, people are really great. Donato can attest to this. We more people now than when you first, brought our products in. I would say a lot of people really support our brand now in your bar, and they'll call for our products, and it's a big mover now for a lot of our, especially in Philadelphia and in the suburbs. I don't go out to Pittsburgh too often, but I do know that our people out in Pittsburgh, they are doing a great job.
Are you at the Lancaster Food and Spirit Show?
I believe we will be, yes.
That's a good show, too. They do a good job.
Yeah. So if somebody needed to contact you, you have a website or direct phone number they can call as a licensee person to contact you if they are interested in the product?
Absolutely, yeah. So the best number to reach me at, if you're looking for... to bring our products in is 610-838-9414. And our website is www.theoandop.com. So our company name is Theobald and Oppenheimer. And I'll spell that out. www.theoandop.com. And you can go on there. You can see all of our products. And actually, we list every account that we have. And, we give you some good pub on there. So you can, see what places in your area are serving our products.
Yeah, I know you support your local bars because you help us out when we do the Shamrock and Roll and during St. Patrick's Day for our bus crawl. So we want to thank you for that as well.
Absolutely. We're happy to do it.
Bus crawl?
Yeah. You put a bus on your back and you crawl.
Yeah. Well, I knew that's what it was. I was just checking. Tell me about your bus crawl.
During St. Patrick's Day, like I said, most of the bars do is they get 10 strong bars to participate together, and they come in as one bar, and we hire a bus company to come around because we don't want nobody to drink and drive. And Faber gave us some promotional products to help support their liquor, as well as some beer companies. And we drive the people around, and they come in, they check out the bar, we supply some food, everybody drinks, everybody's happy, and that's every St. Patrick's
Day. You just said it all, drinks and happy.
Yeah, and food.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for. Go ahead, Don. Yeah. Introduce your next guest.
Before I introduce the next guest, I think we could open that bottle.
It's getting going, man. Yeah, feel free to pop that open. I'll get it started for us. I'll uncork it here.
Dorothy just gave you the thumbs up.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you, Dorothy. The next guest is Jimmy Jenkins, and he's ahead of the 10,000 Flag Initiative, if I'm saying that correctly. I've known Jimmy for a very long time, and I'm proud and happy that he's getting his initiative off the ground. If you want to throw a few words in there, Jimmy?
Sure. I want to thank you first, Donato. I've known Donato for 35 years, and I've worked with him off and on. I know a lot about his business. I met Furio via Donato, and weddings, Christmas Eves, and everything else. And dear friend of mine, and I think he's the best coffee company in Philadelphia. His service is second to none, and the whole city knows you, Donato.
Thank you.
My dear friend.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, Glenn, for having me on the show also.
Anytime.
Florio, congratulations on your business and
Thanks
your
last
you business mean. And your future businesses. I know you're going to be somebody. Keep it up.
I'm trying hard.
It's funny, you know, you're an immigrant. Donato's an immigrant. Sal's an immigrant. CJ's an immigrant. And, you know, we're Americans. We're Americans. Come to America and succeed.
Exactly.
And great to be on the radio with you, Sal, and also CJ.
Thank you.
So it started when I was 12 years old. My brother was drafted. And he was my leader of my family. And I was very upset because my two cousins were there. This is during Vietnam. I hated that war. And life goes on. Well, 45 years later, my cousin that was in Vietnam, 60 years old, was a sergeant major. And he passed away. And we went to his funeral in Arlington. And when we went there, I had to drive my mother in the car because she was old and infirm. And I got out, and his brother said, "Jim, get me the shells that hit the ground." So I gave my mother to my sister, and I had to get the shells. So watching things as I do via politics, which I'll explain, from afar was quite a moving experience. So I go over to get the shells, and we picked up 20. We couldn't find one, and the head of the firing the guard gave me 14 more. That started something in me. And then I went around the country and I saw how divided we were. And, I passed the resolution, which David Crane wrote for me, and I was working for Donato at the time. I used his copy machine. He wanted to kill me. I was killing his ink. And I'm a furrier. You saw me then, too.
Yeah.
Well, when I got the resolution written by David Crane, I got a councilman named David O to put the resolution in. He's a Republican. I'm a Democratic operative. I'm part of the Democratic Party. Well, I got a little flack for that, but he's a serviceman. And I know the Democrats. I wanted the Republicans to get involved because this is nonpartisan all the way. Well, we passed the resolution, and then somebody that was Republican put 140 flags around Lincoln High School, 3.2 miles, with a guy named James Ortlieb and Joe DeFelice. Well, that goes on, and then I hooked up with Joe Campbell. Joe Campbell is a big operator with Chickie and Pete's. He develops all their property. Well, I'm with Joe an awful lot, who I met via Donato from the Restaurant Association. Well, Joe's going to put up a flagpole 90 foot tall at 15th and Packer. You're going to be able to see this flag from the plains, from the Ben Franklin Bridge. And when you come around the expressway, it's going to smack your windshield. IATSE Local 8 is going to put one up, but we're doing some expansion at our location, and we're waiting. It's going to happen, no doubt. 90 foot pole. These poles are massive. Okay, Alan Dom is going to do Rittenhouse Square from 18th to 19th Street, a few other locations, including Schlesinger's. He's supporting me 110%. This is taking years to do. I want 10,000. The first 1,000 are going to be hard. And I'm going to ask Florio today, can you put an American flag in front of your place?
I actually do.
Okay.
I actually do have one.
Then I'm going to count that.
At Illegal Tacos, I do have one.
I'm going to count that one, too.
And we can put a couple at the Mediterranean. I told you that.
Salute. I appreciate it. We're going to get flags all over the city. Alan told me to go get a hold of Paul Levy from Center City District. I think that's going to be a few hundred flags. Also, Richard Laser, deputy mayor with Jimmy Kenney, their flag poles were broken for 8 years. Campaign promise Jimmy made to me, and he followed through. All 8 flag poles are fixed on City Hall. They're my babies. I actually cried. I got tears in my eyes. I didn't cry.
Wow.
But when I saw them, it just kind of moved me. And it's just moving ahead. And the people that I'm meeting from this is just wonderful. Joe Campbell supports me. David Crane supports me. Jimmy Orpley supports it. The Ben Franklin Bridge is doing it. I talked to the chief engineer, Mike Venuto. Ryan Breuer helped me get on to talk to the board. We're just moving ahead slowly. But the first ones are the hardest. After it gets a little momentum, we'll be able to get the neighborhoods done. But the neighborhoods are problematic because you got to take them down every fall, you got to put them back up, right, and you got to pay for them. Whereas, and people go, why don't you sell flags? I don't want to sell flags. I promote flags. People say, don't talk about your flags. And then I walk out and they got a flag. And a lot of my IATSE halls where we work, different places, most of the places have flags now. Because
what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a stagehand with IATSE Local 8, and we're doing wonderful things. You know, we're having a little problem with the parkway right now, but the convention center is a good spot to work, and we have, I'd say, 45 locations in the area that we have all the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work, but it's rewarding. It's good pension, good medical, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And I also help people get elected. I have a few losses. I was hired by the Democratic, the AFL-CIO and IATSE National to work on Hillary's campaign for 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I was also on the stage at the Democratic National Convention at Wells Fargo. And they said, Jim, not too many pictures. I do have a picture with Elizabeth Warren. And I saw our delegates there. That was a wonderful thing. I had to drop the balloons. Remember the balloons? Danny Amadea from our union had to pop them all. It took them 2 hours. There was so many. There was 10,000 balloons. It was an amazing amount of balloons. And the Democratic Party, a friend of mine is going to run for council. And if he wins, I will be chief of staff.
Cool.
But I have to keep my union job, which is, you know, you got to make a minimum to keep your card.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked years to get in this spot. I love my job. We're great. We have a great team. But, you know, I've been in elections, a lot of elections. I helped Jimmy Kenney with his campaign, volunteer, helped a couple judges. And, you know, it keeps me busy. And it's also a good way to get involved in the community and get to know what people need and get things done.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, I missed 3 council meetings. I go to city council every year. Mm-hmm. I've been going since I was 16. I started knocking on doors when I was 15. Right. Got to wait for it for a little while.
You're what, about 25 now?
Yeah, I was actually 60 last Sunday. 60 last Sunday. Thank you. Yeah, it was nice to make it. A lot of people were surprised, including me. But, via the Restaurant Association with Donato, I got to know Joe Campbell, who is just a wonderful guy. I mean, we go to the Palm. I just got him up on the wall. So I was there last Wednesday for some other things that are going on, plus my birthday with Joe. And I talked to the manager. I says, listen, you put somebody that graduated college on the wall. I says, no offense, I think I've done a little more for the community. I'm ready. I told him I didn't want to be on the wall before. Now I'm next to Joe Campbell, which is a prestigious thing. It's a very political place for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to work at City Hall, work at the theaters, and live in the Bellevue Stratford and go to the Palm and then just shoot down the street and go to the Illegal Tacos.
I think what you're doing is really, really great, Jim. I mean, not only to be so proud to be American. I mean, my parents are immigrants. I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York, which is kind of like the piece of Italy that floated away to America. But, you know, the flag thing, you know, the bringing of people together, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, to love each other.
We're so divided right now.
To understand how wonderful it is to live in a place like this. And to absolutely, I mean, most importantly, to get along with one another, the person next to you, doesn't matter who they are or how they practice, whatever they do in their life. You know, there's only so many things people can agree on. There's a lot of things that people don't agree on. But if you focus on the things you do agree on, you will make progress towards a better future together. despite your differences.
Some people have disagreements all the time with everybody about everything, and people even have disagreements with themselves. But
I disagree with country, every
you
day.
Know, yeah, it's country first, you know. I 32 and I came here when I was 14, so I lived more years in America than I lived back home. You know, I consider myself 100% Albanian, but 100% American also. You know, totally. When yeah, I guys. See when I see the American flag, you know, I just feel so proud. It's just my flag, you know, and I get so mad when you see instances on TV where people burn the American flag, Americans, you know, and I just don't like that.
It's actually legal to burn the flag, and I have a problem with it because yeah. if I see somebody do it, I mean, I have a right to get arrested too, but I won't, you know, I mean, during the DNC, we had a lot of that. And I was going to work one morning. This guy had it, and it was really messed up flag. I said, you're really lucky I'm going to work right now because I just yeah. want, I wanted to just like, I don't know. You know what I wanted to do.
Take it home and repair it.
I think you wanted to do a little more than that.
I actually have about 60 flags in my office at home, and they're in a plastic bag. I'm going to get a box at City Hall in front of the Veterans Office where you can deposit the flags so that the Veterans Organization, I have a couple behind us that are going to take them and dispose of, not to retire them properly. You burn them in a fire, but you have to. Well, from what I understand, my buddy tells me he wears his uniform and plays patriotic music and just is solemnly quiet while he's burning. It's the right way, you know. It's not disrespectful. Right. When you get around the neighborhoods and you meet immigrants and Americans and kids and servicemen, I mean, people die for our country. And the flag, I mean, people don't even shut up and just stand up at sporting events. That was another one that moved me. You know, it's like, I can't hear the song when I'm in bed. I got to get out of bed. I turn the phone, like I'm like sleep, I turn it off sometimes. Because, I mean, people are watching me above me, I'm sure. Because, you know, character is what you do when people don't see you.
Exactly.
And it was funny. I was down D.C. for a protest with a girl named Susie Carlin. She's a fellow stagehand at her mother's political. We go downtown, go to D.C., and somebody introduced me to the VP of the AFL-CIO. Because this is Jimmy and Carla from IATC. Look, he goes, Jimmy's the guy that does the flags in Philadelphia. We just hit the floor. I mean, if I wasn't involved in other things, I'd do it nationally. But, you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of, thanks to not a printing machines.
Yeah. You know? A little effort from everybody.
One guy offered me 10% for every flag I got from him. I says, listen, I says, I just can't take money off you. I says, but if you do any flags, any polls, I says, do me a favor. I says, you can give me a gift card to Staples. You know, because that's, I mean, you know what it's like to Staples. You know, you spend thousands of dollars there.
Mm-hmm. Very easy. Very easy.
Yes, we do.
But, you know, Alan Dom's going to be a big shot in the arm. Joe Campbell's flag is going to be amazing. Gaudos, I've talked to them a few times. And the Ben Franklin Bridge, I've had two meetings with them. Believe me, it's happening. We just have to decide. When I spoke to the Delaware Port Authority, 30 people, I'd given out paperwork, and Ryan Boyer told me, he's the president or chairman of the Port Authority. He goes, that's the guy you need to talk to. He's the chief engineer. He's reading the paper. He goes, I said, so, Michael, what do you think what you just read? He goes, written really well. I said, I had a little help. I said, Ryan Boyer sent me over here, and Raymond Santarelli, chief counsel. I know them. And they both said, Michael, get the flag on the bridge, please. The guy's driving me crazy.
How big is that flag going to be on the bridge?
You see, I mean, when I told the CEO of Exelon and Pico what I thought, I've learned that I don't make that decision. Mm-hmm. They're investigating it. I would like the one that's on the George Washington Bridge, but that would work better on the Walt Whitman Bridge. Oh, by the way, he's the chief engineer of all four bridges.
Oh, well.
So Ben Franklin, I'm a big fan of his. I told him, I said, you know, Ben Franklin swam in the river most days for exercise. Mm-hmm. I like to think he swam right where the Ben Franklin Bridge is, and he would appreciate a flag on top.
he probably would.
We may get them at the four anchorages, maybe on one side the Jersey flag, one side the American flag, and then on the Philadelphia side the Pennsylvania flag, and one for the American flag. Or we might get a draper. You can't put it on the high tower. It's just too high to repair.
What you need on that bridge is the flag with the Eagles and Patriots score from this past Super Bowl.
Well, you take
care. Did you have anything to do with that?
we're going to stick with flags. I mean, the one at Delaware and Spring Garden, I actually talked to them about it when it was falling apart after 12 years, and they fixed it 3 months later. They didn't let me know when they did it. I don't know if I had anything to do with it, but I did talk to the guy, and I emailed him a few times. I said, dude, you're embarrassing your building. That's a beautiful flag. You know the flag from 9/11?
Yep.
Remember how we all rallied around the flag, and now we hate each other? No, we're having issues. But I guarantee you, by 2026 is our 250th anniversary, I guarantee you that we'll have 10,000 flags in Philadelphia. I'd like about 1,000 Center City. Once you get the base done, the last 2 years I'll hit the neighborhoods. But a flag's only good for 2 years, and I'm not going to have people put up flags and not take care of them. It's hard. It's hard work. Thanks, Jimmy Ortlieb. Thank you, Joe DeFelice. 3.2 miles, Lincoln High School. It looks beautiful up there. People, like one guy found a flag on the ground. He got me on Facebook. Where do I take this flag? He pulled up on us, and he gave us $40 one day. He goes, here, buy a couple more flags. Nice. So we went to the bar. Well, I'm kidding. But no, I'm kidding. Every year you have to repair them. And they get ripped up. And they get, you know,
the wind.
It's the elements.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The
so, Donato, so if we learned anything today, it's start your day off with Piccolo Joe coffee, go to Illegal Tacos, drink some Faber, salute the American flag, go down to the...
get some barbecue.
Absolutely.
At the end.
Right. Delicious barbecue. Because it takes a while to smoke all that meat.
Yes,
you know?
It does. 18 hours worth.
Right. So you end your day there with some beautiful barbecue.
And a good cup of espresso coffee.
Absolutely.
That's right.
There you go. Best way to start your day.
T&L right. Coffee. T&L espresso.
Hey, that's... the way to do it. I've never had a cup of coffee or espresso in my life.
Why not?
Really?
I don't know. It just never appealed to me. I'll be honest with you.
You've never tried the espresso from Donato?
I don't know. You know, it just never.
It's the kissing coffee.
It's the
kissing coffee. it just never really appealed. Like my former business partner, you know, 10 cups a day. You know, me, I just, wow. I don't know. Just didn't appeal to me.
It's like a fine wine when you.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Coffee, you know, it's just it's the whole culture within itself, and you know, we were talking a little bit about the different beans and the different ways to roast it and this and that, and it's just it becomes an all-encompassing culture, and
it's a sign of friendship.
Absolutely,
definitely is.
I go through about 4 or 5 espressos a day.
Yes,
two back to back in the morning.
Same here.
I never had an appreciation for coffee until I met you, Donato, because I had my my whole life. I'm 27. I'm almost 27, like I said. But you know, I feel like I've always been around Dunkin' Donuts drinkers and Starbucks drinkers and all that stuff. And,
yeah, the worst.
You know, I had that.
Flavored milk.
I never liked any of that stuff. You know, my entire life.
No, we just lost
like
another sponsor.
But but I do appreciate coffee now after, you know, meeting you and having what you supply to everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
Welcome.
You know, I do know people that use you and nothing but legitimately great comments about your product.
We try to source the best we can.
Yeah. If I sold coffee, I'd use you in a heartbeat.
And the service.
It just doesn't fit with us.
And the service, second to none.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The service is second to none. I mean, and usually most of the calls come in on Friday afternoon.
Don't they?
Very true.
Yeah, I forgot to order, and I need for the weekend. And
yeah. Well, you know that?
Yeah, I do it all the time. never mind. I was going to say something, but I won't. So we got a few minutes left. Let's start with Illegal Taco. Address, location, websites, the whole nine yards.
Sure. Illegal Tacos, 427 South Broad Street, right on the corner of Broad and Lombard, northeast corner of Broad and Lombard. Website is easy, illegaltacos.com.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite taco?
Al Pastor. Al Pastor is the most authentic one.
Mm-hmm.
The pork that we cook it on a vertical spit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's completely street style taco.
Okay, that's what I would probably order.
With some habanero sauce.
Oh, absolutely.
Habanero sauce. My God. Oh, finger absolutely. Licking.
Absolutely. Next.
Piccolo Joe Coffee Bar, 400 East Township Line Road, and that's in Havertown, PA. Route 1. the southbound side, right next to the, there's a post office, there's an auto place. So inside the Sunoco gas station, you can see us online at Facebook or Instagram at Piccolo Joe Coffee Bar. And come on in and we'll treat you right. We'll get your day going on strong.
Theobald and Oppenheimer Distilling. We are in. We are at 110 Main Street, Trumbauersville, Pennsylvania, right outside of Quakertown. And our website is www.theoandop.com.
Well, that's okay then. Hey. Next one.
Hi, it's Jim again. 10,000 American Flags. I have a Facebook account. It's called Jim Jenkins, and our website's down right now. Tune me in if you want to like get your flag promoted, and you know I'll talk about you until I'll never stop talking about anybody that puts up a flag for you.
Do you have a phone number, Jim? Do you want to contact?
No, I don't want to push it. Thank you.
Okay, well, at least he's honest.
And I'm Donato Marina with D&L Coffee Service. We service espresso, cappuccino machines, drip coffee. We source coffee from Italy and also other places around the world to give you the best coffee quality to the cup. I can be reached at 215-365-5521 or at dnlcoffeeservice.com, as well as Facebook page DNL Coffee Service. Thank you.
What you do espressos, tell me exactly product-wise what you do.
Well, we have espresso we import from Italy. We have coffee that's roasted for us by a private roaster with our name on it, from Colombian to Sumatra to just about any country we can get coffee for, if that's what you prefer. We have coffee that's already grounded. We do the equipment, and we also do the training for your baristas if you need some type of training on how to make the proper espresso, cappuccino, and lattes.
Excellent equipment work, by the way. Even if you don't buy your coffee, if you need equipment work, Donato does
really
spectacular.
If somebody's
spectacular
a customer,
work.
If somebody's a customer, do you give them the equipment or do you rent it to them?
The espresso machine, they either buy or lease, and the drip coffee, we have we lend the product, the coffee equipment, as long as they use our coffee.
Okay. Anybody else? Anything you want to say? We've got 2 minutes left. Come on, speak up.
It's been wonderful to be here with all of you guys. I'm so hungry now.
Come on, I promise. I'm a man of my word.
I think you should take us all out for dinner.
It's only 20 minutes away from here.
I think you should take us all out for dinner.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
We have liquor and coffee with us.
Yeah. Coconut
so
rum.
So all we got to do is order apps and food.
Coconut rum was very good.
Yeah, what did you guys think of the single prop rum?
It was very good. Very
smooth.
I really appreciate how they went down, bought their own coconut farms, and they use that. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
It's really amazing.
Well, apparently Dorothy liked it. She texted me, I'm a little tipsy. She only had a little sip.
I tell you what, the best way to drink liquor is to make sure that you swirl it right above the top of your teeth there, and right in that gum area right there. That's where the made blunt vessel is, to your whole face and to your brain. And let me tell you something. My face feels great.
I bet it does. Numb. And how do you feel it if it's numb?
It's spectacular. It feels nice. It feels good.
All right, listen, guys, we got about 30 seconds left. I got to wrap it up. this has been Small Bites Radio, or Small Bites Radio. Yeah, Small Bites Radio.
Yeah.
Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. Yeah. Think about it.
Wildfire, yes.
I'm Glenn Gross. I own Fat Jack's Barbecue in Philly and New York. This has been a fun show. How about it, fellas?
Yeah, great show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. You can catch it worldwide on iTunes and a bunch of other places. Look on the internet. You'll find it. That was it, everybody.
Yep.
Hey, we're out of here. Late.
Ciao.